Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, copywriter, and educational content creator. Join me while I sit down with talented photographers, savvy entrepreneurs, and inspiring educators from the Unscripted community. Each week, I pick their brains and invite them to share real-life advice so you can learn everything you need to know to grow your dream business. Tune in for conversations about harnessing your creativity, connecting to your clients, building your confidence as a photographer, and so much more. No matter where you are on your photography journey, this is the podcast for you. If you want to celebrate all stories, take photos that matter, and feel empowered in your craft, don't go anywhere. Let's get right into it. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. As photographers, we spend countless hours honing our craft, chasing the perfect light, daydreaming about our creative ideas, and capturing breathtaking moments. But in order for our photography business to be successful, we need to pair all this good stuff with something crucial: financial stability. Today, I'm joined by Micah Bain, a wedding photographer and business coach, and we're talking about just that. Diving right into the business side of things, we explore what financial freedom looks like as a photographer and how to get there. As we're sure you know, building a sustainable photography business doesn't happen overnight, and many new photographers struggle with misconceptions about worth, wealth, and achieving financial independence. So buckle up, my friends, because we are about to break down those misconceptions and dive into practical strategies for managing your finances, cultivating a future mindset, and ultimately unlocking the financial freedom you deserve. This episode will be packed with valuable insights, so grab your notebooks, sharpen your pencils, and settle in for the ride. Micah, if you could just kick us off by introducing yourself to our audience and maybe a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Yes, I am Micah Bain, and I am a photographer and business coach based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I have been a photographer for 13 years now. I started specifically with weddings, and actually a little bit more in the video space. And what I love most about it is interacting with people and telling stories.
Amazing. And today I really kind of got you on board because a lot of the things you talk about is about wealth and financial freedom and sort of navigating your relationship to money. So maybe we can get into the nitty gritty a little bit about how has your philosophy around finances kind of formed? What was a turning point that made you realize your relationship to money was an important thing to you?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I grew up in a household where, like, you know, money was definitely a topic of conversation. You know, we got a small allowance. And even from like a young age, my siblings and I got like $3 a week. So it was $1 to share, $1 to save, and $1 to spend. So I think I had the mindset early on that, you know, money is like a tool and a resource, but it's not only for just kind of like meeting my own immediate wants or needs. So I think that perspective of money is meant to be like shared, and there are other people with, you know, less resources and less privilege. So just kind of keeping that in mind. And then also just kind of the knowledge of planning for the future. So I think I really appreciate and admire that perspective that I had from a pretty young age.
I love that. That's such a sweet sort of brief from your parents, like $1 to share, $1 to save. Like, where did they get that? That's so good.
I think they got it like at their church. I mean, they're very, very generous with like their time, money, resources, talents, like everything. And they're also very inclusive of everybody. So I think all of my siblings and I are kind of that way as well, just because we're like, oh yeah, like why not? I don't know. If someone were to like come to my house and be like, oh my gosh, I love your sweater, I'd probably be like, okay, do you want it? Like, I don't know. But I think having this perspective of, and like, don't get me wrong, I like my physical items. Like I like my stuff. I love them. But I think having this perspective that like things aren't kind of going to bring happiness alone, and also like it's just more fun to share and invite other people into it, I think has just been like a really helpful perspective. And then also like, I guess kind of freeing, honestly, where it's like, yeah, I mean, obviously I'd be super bummed if my favorite possession, like, you know, was destroyed for some reason, but that wouldn't, I don't know. That's not like everything to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I feel like it is kind of navigating that
What is money beyond money? Like, what is wealth to you? What does it actually bring? You know, what does having money kind of mean? Because it's not just about like the number in your bank account, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I think early on in my career and like in my early and mid 20s, I was very well. So I went to college and like graduated with a lot of debt. So I worked really hard to pay back my loans as fast as possible. And I also purchased a home at a pretty young age. I was 25 when I bought my first home.
Whoa.
And I think, so I was
Did
like,
Did you buy it by like, yourself?
I bought it with my ex-husband.
There's a story in that.
Yeah. So we were both very motivated to like, we both had a lot of debt from college. So we were very motivated to like pay it off and then buy a house and like plan for the future and not just kind of get caught up in spending on whatever random thing came up next. So I think those habits of like being future minded and like goal oriented, like really served me well from like a younger than most people age. And then I think as time went on and I've had, you know, now the chance to kind of reset my life and rethink like how I want to approach money and finances and what it means to me. I think the biggest thing that I find that it brings is freedom and opportunity. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean to just the freedom to like go buy the most expensive purse or I don't know, but maybe it does. Like if that's something that's important to somebody and that is like a feeling of freedom, then I think that's totally up to the individual. I think for me, like we were talking about before we started recording, is travel. And for me, kind of like the biggest, I don't know, sense of freedom that I can feel is both knowledge that I'm like taking care of my current and future self. And then I also am able to like live and do the things that are exciting for me now. Like I just got home 3 or 4 hours ago from spending a month in Latin America, including Patagonia, and just having the time and the flexibility and the finances to be able to do that felt like such a huge win. And that's something that I think someone from the outside could be like, oh, must be nice to like just leave for a month. And it's like, yes. And, you know, like I have been working towards this for many years. Like I set up systems to do that. And also the first week of it, I was hosting a business retreat for business owners in Guatemala. So like, yes, you know, plenty of it was time that was just for me to like explore and enjoy. But I also was working for part of it. And the reason that I was working in the places where I was is because that's something that I super value. So like setting up my business and my life to support things that are exciting and valuable to me, I feel just kind of all circles back to like, that's something that money can do for me. And that's kind of like, why I think it's valuable.
So what did sort of motivate you to start your business? Like you were shooting weddings for a while and then you kind of branched out into business coaching. Like, what was that kind of realization of why you do what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, of course, most people who are photographers, if not maybe everyone, gets into it because of the creativity and the photos and like it's fun to take the pictures of the people, blah, blah, blah. But then I kind of added on and like transitioned to also doing business coaching because I saw so many people who are like brilliant artists and really amazing people, great at interacting. But I just, you know, since I've been in the industry, like I said, you know, 13 years now, I've seen people come and go because they come in with all this artistic skill and energy and creativity, but then are just totally honestly lacking in the business and the financial aspect. And like, you honestly cannot run a successful business if you're not making money. Then that's a hobby, which is super valuable. And like, I love hobbies. I have a lot of hobbies. I think everyone should have at least some hobbies.
Yeah.
But like, you can't call it a business if you're not making money.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that doesn't mean like, oh, you need to want to make X dollars. Like, it doesn't really matter from the outside. You know, I think however much money a person is making is totally dependent on them and their life circumstances. And if they have another job or a partner with a career or anything like that. But I think ultimately it's a matter of knowing like, okay, how much money are you actually making in your business? How much are you spending? How much are you paying yourself? And then if you don't know that information, that's just like the bare minimum first step. And I think it honestly just started in all of these casual conversations with friends and other business owners where I was like, whoa, like, just as your friend, let's hash this out. And then, yeah things escalated from there.
So how would you describe what your business does as a business coach? Like, what is it? You know, what are your products and services? What are the things that you see photographers come in with the most? What are your sort of most encountered problems, aside from, you know, the one you kind of just said, where people don't know their general incomings, outgoings, like cost of doing business?
Right, totally. I mean, I feel like a lot of times the two biggest ones that I see, money one that we already chatted about, and then time, people just, you know, not honestly knowing how to like manage their own time. And whether they come from a background of like having a boss, or maybe they started off doing this, but they just like are always feeling like behind. They don't have systems, they don't have automations, they don't have things in their business to kind of take it to the next level. And I feel like people are just distracted, and it's hard to drive a business forward and know kind of what are the goals and the next steps if you're just always distracted.
Yeah.
And then I think like another part of it, so I would say like time and money are kind of the two biggest topics that a lot of my coaching clients and I chat about. But I mean, I feel like ultimately just kind of having the accountability of having a business coach is so valuable. Like, I hired my first business coach, actually, it was almost exactly a year ago.
No way.
And I had gone to like workshops and retreats and like one-off things and like bought online things, which I think is, you know, valuable if they're done well. But I also think that now that I, like, for the past year have invested an honestly very significant amount of money and time into something, like by far more than I had ever invested into my business or myself in the past. But it's been so cool, not only to like have, you know, the wisdom and the knowledge of somebody else to learn from what they're doing and kind of get like an inside glimpse and more ideas and systems and strategies there, but I think also just having the accountability and knowing like, hey, we're going to meet again in a month. This is your homework of 10 things to do. Like, I'm only hurting myself if I don't do the things that I said I would do, you know, like I'm only wasting my own time and money. So,
yeah, I mean, so much of it is mindset too, like having that business coach keep you sort of accountable. I'm surprised to hear that maybe you were a business coach for longer than you've had a business coach. Like, you were kind of coaching before you were business coached.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think of like, when was the exact timeline? I mean, I feel like I've been a business coach for like maybe a year and a half or 2 years. So I think maybe I kind of started doing it a little bit here and a little bit there. And then I was like, wait a minute. Maybe I could do some learning and make sure I'm doing this the best way and the right way. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what were the sort of things that your business coach sort of talked you through? Like, what are some of the maybe limiting beliefs that you sort of carried into your first session?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, funny enough, I feel like a lot of them were about money, just because I constantly have this like, you know, knowledge and reminder to myself that I just come from like a huge place of privilege. Like, I grew up financially secure with a loving home. You know, like, I had great education. I am white, which provides me privilege where I live, and just like all these different things. Like, I'm able to, you know, open credit cards. I have a passport that can take me pretty much anywhere, like all of these things. And then I was making plenty of money for what everything I needed to do. Plus, you know, like I mentioned early on, the share, save, spend, like I was sharing generously. I was saving a lot of money and I was spending on the stuff that I wanted to do. So I was kind of like, well, I'm making enough money. Why should I try to make more? And yeah, so I think that's some of the stuff that I really started talking about with my business coach, because yeah, I think I was just feeling, I guess, almost guilty.
Yeah.
Or like having a successful business, which, you know, saying it out loud, that doesn't make any sense, but it also kind of does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it. I feel like that makes sense. I feel like there's so many competing kind of belief systems out there that we all just sort of get exposed to. You know, I think it is important to sort of share your wealth and if that's a value of yours. But then on the other hand, it's okay to feel like you've gotten somewhere and you've built something and you have this like financial success in a way. I don't know. I can totally see how that would be something that can come up for a lot of people. And I think artists and photographers as well, you know, there's this kind of element of if you really love what you do, then do you need to make money off of it? And like, there's that kind of the belief of the starving artist. And I've sort of spoken about that like previously on this podcast before of, you know, there are so many, I guess, occupations that people have that society doesn't expect them to like want to earn money from. And it's just a little, I don't know, I think it's a little bit convoluted. More to say on that, but always more to say on that. What are some of the core elements of having good financial hygiene, do you think?
I mean, I think having a knowledge of where you are currently and then where you want to go in kind of the short term, medium and long term, and then making sure you're actively taking steps to go that direction. So like if you want to retire by, you know, a certain age, are you contributing to a retirement account or another way to support yourself in the future? And if not, then how do you think you're going to retire at that age? You know, so just like being very like brutally honest with yourself, or like, you know, if you want to like buy a house, and maybe that both of those are like pretty big things, but I don't know if you want to, like a year and a half ago, I took my mom on a trip to Italy. So, okay, if you want to like do something really special like that, okay, you want to take your mom on a trip to Italy or whatever your example is, how much does that cost? And then, okay, you need, let's just say $5,000 because that's a nice round number. What would it look like to save up an extra, you know, $5,000 or whatever it is? So you can actually be like meeting those goals. And if you're breaking it down by month and you need, you know, you're trying to do this over the course of like a year or something. So you need, I don't know what that is, $400 or $500, whatever. You need a few hundred extra dollars a month. So then like, yeah, I mean, so, and I think people, at least here, I feel like people's thing is always like, oh, don't go out for coffee every day. Like, okay, sure. But like, I don't think you're like daily $5 or now probably like $8 for a latte thing. I don't think that is necessarily going to make it or break it. Maybe it is. But I think looking at the bigger, like the bigger expenses, having a very honest look with yourself, like looking at your whole credit card statement for the last like 3 to 6 months and being like, what are you actually spending money on? Can you get a different rate on your utilities or like your car insurance or your house or renter's insurance? Or like, are you spending so much money on clothes and then they're just sitting in your closet? Okay, can you do like a clothes swap? Can you thrift more? Can you do like a clothes rental? Just thinking differently about kind of those bigger repeat spend things, or like your groceries or eating out. Like, this doesn't mean you need to be like sitting at home alone eating ramen noodles all the time, but it's being honest with yourself, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those things that kind of people put on the back burner because they don't want to think about it. I have a very unhealthy trait or like expectation around money where I've just conflated being older with having money. So like in the back of my head, I just think of like future me as being like richer than I am just because I'm by virtue of being older. I'm like, totally. Adults have money. Like I will just have money magically.
You'll be older if you have money.
And it's just like, what? That needs to be questioned. It's exactly like you said, if you want to retire at a certain age, like you actually have to take active steps to get there. And I know that this is so obvious and I'm laughing because it's so obvious, but at the same time, it's not actually something that a lot of people look at.
Seriously. Well, and I think also it's easy to get in the habit where you start making a little more money and like the lifestyle creep, and it's very real. It's easy to just be like, oh, I'm making a little more money. Now I get to go out a little more often and now I get to buy a little nicer things. And actually, funny enough, on the time that I just spent traveling for the past month, I definitely did some things that were like, you know, a little bougier or like really big experiences. Like I went ice trekking on a glacier and like, yeah, that costs, you know, a chunk of change because obviously professional guides and all the gear. So then to kind of, I don't know, keep myself grounded, I like stayed in hostels and was like sleeping in bunks, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Just to be like, okay, could I have afforded to stay in nice places? Yeah. But then I would have spent so much money on that trip, you know? And then I would have that less money for the next trip or putting towards retirement or the next goal or something. So I think it's sometimes less about, do you actually have the dollars to buy that? Or again, keeping your goals in mind and making sure you're making choices that actually align.
How do you do that? Like, how do you exercise that future-minded, goal-oriented? I'm not naturally like that. If one is not naturally able to, like, save the second marshmallow, to think about the future, how do you maybe manufacture or, like, simulate that mindset for yourself if you don't naturally have it?
That's a really good question. Something, like, kind of silly that I like to do for myself is bribe myself. So I don't know, just take for an example, say you're trying to put like $1,000 a month into retirement or like 500 or something like that. So A, I would set up as many things like that on auto as possible, just because then you don't have to think about it.
What do you mean?
Like, for example, for like one of my retirement accounts, I just have an automatically $500 a month just goes into this separate account. Like I have to approve it. It just goes out on like the third of every month or something like that.
And then do you have access to this account? Do you ever like transfer back out of that account?
No, at least like, I don't know how it varies by country, but that one I don't. Like, I just assume that I'm never going to look at that money till I retire.
Wow.
But like, you could do something to like get in the habit of it. You could be like, okay, if I put $500 in my retirement account, then I get to like go buy my favorite treat or something like that.
Okay.
I'm like a huge self-briber. If I finish like a really big, like if I finish like a huge project that's been stressing me out, then I'll like go get a massage or something like that. So I think just having like a very specific goal and then like rewarding yourself with sub goals along the way. Because nice. I don't know, like some of the bigger ones where it's like, I want to buy a house. Okay, then you need a solid amount of money to put down, then that I think can just feel overwhelming to get there. And then you're like, oh, well, now I just like can't go out to drinks with friends because I'm trying to save up and that's ruining my fun, you know? So instead of having that mindset, I think, again, kind of, you know, like when you were a kid and you put like pennies in like a piggy bank or whatever.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like giving yourself a piece of candy for putting pennies in your piggy bank, that kind of thing. So you're putting more than pennies away so you can like reward yourself with something bigger than like a piece of candy. But like, I don't know, if you are trying to hit a certain financial goal in your business. Actually, something that I do a lot is I buy myself cakes and I like get custom like words on them. So like, I'll do that for like a financial goal. Like I just opened an Airbnb 2 months ago. So like the name of it is called The Baddies. So like I ordered this cake that says The Baddies. I had a group of girlfriends over. We like popped confetti. We had champagne. We just made it a whole thing because I had spent, you know, the last 3 months and, you know, I had invested a lot of time and money into this place. So that was kind of the reward where it's like, get the reward of opening an Airbnb and, you know, starting a new business. But having kind of like that self-bribe and making it like a celebration just made it more fun and like motivating, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like, I feel like there's so many milestones to be celebrated that aren't sort of socially recognized, you know? It's like if you're sort of running your own business, like there are all these milestones that you hit that are not as obvious as like having a baby or getting married, you know? And so it's like, you kind of have to just call them out yourself and like invite the people around you to celebrate with you because no one's going to know.
Yeah, you have to call it out yourself. And yeah, like no one's going to know. Yeah, like I'm a single woman. I work for myself. No one's going to know what's going on behind my computer screen unless I tell them. So yeah, I think honestly, like getting divorced a handful of years ago, when I finally got the paper signed, like a friend made me a cake that said something on it. And I don't know, that was kind of just like one of the steps of taking charge of your own celebration and inviting people into it. And it's just more fun. Like even this week, I'm having a big party for like a branch of my photography business. And the night before the party, I'm having a handful of girlfriends over and we're having like a pre-party party where they're like helping me, you know, prep the cocktails and decorate and things like that. So it's like, yeah, I could obviously do that by myself, but A, that's going to take longer and be less fun.
Totally.
And like, I don't know, why not invite people in and be a part of it? I don't know.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, but it is like, it's like defining your own milestones and bringing your community into it instead of just going with, you know, the obvious ones, which everyone knows how to celebrate them because we all have like these defined rites of passage in our culture for like these specific things. But there are these more nuanced things that come from running a business that like you can sort of celebrate as well and like keep you motivated, I guess, too.
Yeah, totally. And I think also like, I'll just say one more thing about the cakes thing that I like doing for myself. So when I relaunched my business a few years ago, when I made my first 100 grand in my new business, I was thinking to myself one day, I bet I'm really close. Like, let me just enter the numbers. And I hit enter on my like spreadsheet and was like, oh my gosh, I did it. And I was just like sitting there at the computer feeling like so happy and emotional and like just feeling all these feelings, just sitting by myself in my office on my computer. And then I was like, you know what? No, like I'm going to do this with someone else, but like, obviously it's about money. So sometimes that feels like a little personal. And I didn't necessarily want to go around telling everybody like, oh, I made my first 100 grand. That felt a little too much like in that exact moment.
Yeah.
I was feeling a huge mix of emotions, but I like went to my favorite bakery. I got a cake. I had them write the boss, but I was like a little bit embarrassed that I was getting it for myself. So I like kind of pretended that I wasn't, which I going back, I'm like, that was stupid. I'm like, it's for me. And it was like pink and cute. And then I went over to my brother and his wife's house and they have a couple young kids. And at the time their daughter was like probably 3 or 4 years old. So she obviously doesn't know like what we're celebrating, but all I told her is that like, you know, I'm like, remember how my job is like taking pictures? Like it's going really well. Like, look, we're going to have a cake together. And you know, we just like took a quick picture on a phone and I have that framed in my house. Cause it's just like, I feel like so special to be like, okay, that was a big moment for me, but I also just love the idea of showing the next generation that we can celebrate lots of different milestones and like invite other people like into our own wins and our own successes. So
Totally. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I should get a cake.
Yeah, seriously, I'm all about it.
Regardless of whether you photograph elopements, weddings, or family sessions, the juggling act that comes with running your own business can be a real struggle. There's a lot that falls on your shoulders, from marketing yourself, to managing your finances, to finding new ways to stay creatively inspired. Look, it's a lot to expect one person to do on their own. You should be able to grow a thriving photography business without losing sleep, time, or all your friends over it. Having empowered over 500,000 photographers worldwide to make money doing what they love, the Unscripted app for photographers takes the struggle out of what you do. Offering the world's most extensive collection of poses and prompts, lawyer-approved contracts, digital invoices, client questionnaires, beautifully designed galleries, and so much more, your only regret will be not getting on board earlier. Stop feeling disorganized, insecure, and awkward. Book your ideal clients and grow a thriving photography business today. Search Unscripted in your app store now and get $20 off lifetime access with our code UNSCRIPTEDPODCAST.
This is kind of getting in the nitty-gritty a little bit more, but like, how do you kind of break down sort of your income as a sole trader? Like when you get the invoice come through, do you sort of go, you know, like same thing as you had when you got your $3 a week where you're like, a part of it is for sharing, a part of it is for saving, and a part of it's for spending. But like maybe an adult version of that is part of it goes to like reinvesting in the business, part of it goes to paying me, part of it goes to taxes. What's your sort of percentage breakdown of invoices and what would you say is a healthy one for new photographers starting out?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think a lot of it depends on like where you're living and your... So I would definitely start by getting a tax professional in your area who understands your type of business. And I would get a good one. Like I've had honestly a lot of bad ones throughout the years. So I would do your time and energy to research and find someone who really knows their stuff.
And someone who like knows photography too and like what your expenses would be, like a creative specialist.
Seriously, like this is something worth spending time on because taxes is probably going to be the thing that you spend the most money on over anything else. So you want someone who can help you maximize your write-offs while, you know, while working like within the law. So typically like my rough breakdown is I set aside like 25 to 30% for taxes. And then depending on, again, kind of like where you are, you can pay that either like quarterly or annually, depending. And then as far as money, like reinvested in the business slash what I pay myself, I feel like that kind of like varies person to person and business to business. But I think a mistake a lot of people make is not paying themselves. So you definitely do need to pay yourself. And then I think also just having like an awareness of what you're spending and what things are like a hard cost, like an annual subscription to this or that, or like, you know, your editing software or something like that, where it's like, you're going to have to pay that if you have one client or 100 clients. But then other things may vary by client. Like, for example, if you send client gifts, you're obviously going to be spending a different amount of money depending on how many people you're working with. So I think kind of breaking down which ones are like more or less hard costs, no matter what, and then which ones kind of flex up and down based on the number of clients. Yeah, I think that this also kind of like leads into figuring out like what to charge, how much you're trying to make, like, or what you need to make to support yourself, and then making sure that you have options to actually make that much money, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like a lot of times in the industry, people throw around like, I want to make six figures as just kind of a random thing, which,
yeah,
okay, great. Like, if you want to do that, good. But also, I don't think that's a good goal if it's just a random goal. But then, you know, say that is your goal, but you want to do 20 weddings a year and you're charging $3,000 a wedding, then you're making $60,000 max. Like, so that doesn't even make sense. You know what I mean? So I think being in tune with a kind of the reason why you want to make the money you want to make, and then working backwards from there of like, okay, I want to sell X number of portrait sessions and X number of wedding sessions and X number of whatever else thing you have available, and making sure that it's even possible for people to pay you the money to hit your goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you figure out how much you need to like live, and then you kind of reverse engineer that from like, you know, how much you might be charging. But then that number would still just be representative of how much you need to live, not how much you need to like grow your business. Like, what are other factors that people should be sort of including in this calculus?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you're thinking of how much you want to or need to make per year, you need to be in tune with both your business and your personal spending. So I think you really do need to go back and look at like the last 3 to 6 months on like your credit cards, bank accounts, like any other transfer, online transfers or anything, to have a sense of like, what are you spending? And I highly recommend it doing by category on both business and personal, instead of just like, I spent $10,000. Like, on what though? You know?
Yeah.
Cause then you know which areas you can like cut and grow in. So I think you really need to have a good sense of what you're spending. If there's any of those areas where you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I was spending that much money, like, or whatever. And then also thinking of what are your goals? Like, are you wanting to, like, your child wants to join some sports league, or you want to take your family on a vacation, or you want to donate X amount to charity, or what, like, whatever is your additional goal, then make sure you're adding that in. Then also making sure that you're accounting for taxes. And then I always recommend like a little bit, like you want to add an, I don't know, I don't have like a hard number percentage, but say 5 to 10% more to have a little bit of flexibility, if not more than that. Because you don't want to be in a situation where you're like, oh my gosh, my car broke. I didn't plan on that. Okay, obviously you didn't plan on that, but like that can happen at any time.
Yeah.
So just making sure that the numbers aren't so tight that there's not room for life to happen.
Yeah. So what are all your little buckets? Like, you've got like your retirement bucket, you've got your car breaks down, like emergency bucket, like holiday. What else?
Yeah. Okay. So for business, like I really break down my categories quite a lot just because I think that helps me. So I have like, I sell fine art albums. So like albums, assistant, bank fees. Like I hired someone to take brand photos of me, a business coach, my utilities, client meals, client gifts, editing, other education. Like I went to a workshop and like bought some online courses. I have interns, so expenses related to that, marketing, networking events, parking, party supplies, postal stamps. Like I really, really break it down because then I know like what it is. Cause if I were to just be like general marketing or something, but I didn't break it down on like party supplies, like that's part of marketing, like networking meals, like that's part of marketing, like postal stamps, that's part of marketing, but like which ones? Because then that also helps me make decisions for future years. If I'm like, oh my gosh, I spent how much money on like this? I went on a really expensive retreat last year that I did not feel it had like a return on investment. So I'm like, okay, that is good knowledge to have, that like for any future hypothetical retreats, I need to double down on my research and, you know, make sure I really know what I'm signing up for. Because, you know, at this point, that was like 11 months ago. So that, like, I honestly, like, haven't thought about it in a really long time. But now that I'm looking at my chart, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did spend that much on the retreat. Like, probably not going to repeat that mistake.
Totally. And it kind of gives you a bit of freedom, too. Like, I feel like having all these categories, like, helps you kind of feel like you can spend the money on it. Like, you're not, like, just sort of riding super close to the red line of like, oh, I don't know, like, should I, shouldn't I kind of need to, but like you've already sort of, it's already been spoken for.
Oh, and travel. That is usually like travel. My highest goals.
So that's the business side.
Cause almost every trip that I do, I'm doing photo shoots. So then it's right off.
Yeah. Awesome.
But check with your tax person.
Yeah, I always am just like looking for the tax person that can tell me everything's a write-off, but I feel like that tactic is not recommended because they actually can come for you. Like, even if you're like, no, I got a tax person to do it for me. Friend of a friend was like actually hit up by the Australian tax to like pay back like hundreds of thousands of dollars because their tax person was super lax. So that can come back to bite you in the butt.
Right. Yeah. So you want to find someone who has kind of the balance of like, yeah, you want to write stuff off, but yeah, you also don't want to be slapped with a bill in 3 years because you didn't pay.
Totally. That hurts. Okay. So this is kind of a little bit about like how you're sort of managing your money in a little way. I guess I'm curious about, do you have a budgeting method that you sort of use, or like, do you use like a tracker for your like income and expenses that kind of helps you stay on track throughout the year?
I don't actually. I know I probably should because I, you know, teach people about money, but I have a pretty good, I don't know.
Sounds like you've got spreadsheets. You've got like a good system that you're kind of.
Yeah, I have spreadsheets. I know that there's a lot of really good apps for tracking. But yeah, I have everything extremely detailed in a spreadsheet. So like I have like income for the last year, like broken down by like every single name of the client, the amount, the credit card processing fee. I categorize everything and then I break it down by category because like my business does a lot of different types of things. So then I can also break it down and be like, oh, wow, I thought that category of business was like bringing in a lot of dollars, but it's actually really not. So like, is that something that I want to cut or is that something that I want to like reevaluate or do differently? Yeah. So I think breaking it down is super helpful. And different people handle it different ways. Like some people want to look at their finances like once a week, once a month. I would do a minimum of once a quarter, but probably once a month is good just to kind of have a sense of like where you are and where you're going.
Wow. Okay. That is like more frequently than I thought it meant to.
I mean, it doesn't need to be like anything too overwhelming, but just, yeah, like at least a quarter, just check in. How much are you making? How much are you spending? Are you saving for the taxes? Especially if you're paying quarterly taxes, you have to, I think I just found out that I have to send in my sales tax now monthly, which I'm kind of annoyed about instead of quarterly, but.
That's annoying. It's just like annoying admin.
I know. That's how I feel about it. I'm like, like you're going to get my money. Just wait.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So how would you suggest like photographers who are just getting into the industry, like set this all up for themselves? Like you've got spreadsheets. Would you kind of suggest that that's a good way to sort of when they're checking in about how much they're making, how much they're spending, like how do you like set up a system that really keeps you on track?
Yeah. I mean, I personally like Google Sheets just because I keep it from like every year. So then I can compare and contrast. I think that is, I don't want to say the best way, but I think that's a very helpful way to be able to see everything. Again, I'm sure there are apps. I would probably shy away from like a paper and pen method just because that seems, I don't know. That seems bad for me, but maybe if that works for you, go for it. But, and actually I made like a little spreadsheet guide that's like, has like an expense tracker for personal and business. And it's like a guide to help you calculating your monthly and annual earnings. So I have like a little freebie available. That's cool. Just like literally a spreadsheet.
And that's on your website.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. It's just.
I'll pop that in the show notes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's just micahbain.com/money. And yeah, you just pop in your email and then you can get what you want. I think it's useful, but if there's something more useful for you, I think you should do whatever you're going to actually follow, I think is the best system for you.
Kind of sounds like you've got some really good sort of systems in place and you have your like little ignore tab. For the most part, it sounds like you're really like kind of on top of your shit. But I want to know, what are some of the biggest financial mistakes you've ever made in your business?
Ooh, I've got some. I mean, I think by far the biggest one was hiring a tax person who I feel advised me in the wrong direction and I was filing it as a different type of business. And that mistake cost me like tens of thousands of dollars over the course of a few years. So again, get a good tax person. Like there's nothing that you're going to spend more money on in a year than paying your taxes. Most likely find somebody good. And also like keep reevaluating, which I'm not that there's any way my tax person would listen to this, but that is my plan after tax day is to like find kind of my next person. Cause
thing to remember as well is like, you don't owe your loyalty to any one tax person. So if it's not working, like, yeah.
Yeah. I think she's fine. But I think the problem that I feel is I keep going to her with questions and she's like, oh, Micah, you're like my client who asks me more than anyone else. Like, you know so much. And I'm like, I feel like a complete newbie in the tax. I feel like I almost know almost nothing. And if I'm the one asking a lot of questions, that's concerning, I feel. Yeah. And also, why are you not bringing these things up to me?
Totally.
And I think, yeah, as I keep expanding my business, and like I mentioned, I just started another new business. So I just want someone who can kind of like have a grip of the variety of things that I'm doing. So yeah, that was by far my biggest mistake. I think again, yeah, not doing my, I feel like I only want to take partial ownership for a retreat that I went to. That was a very negative experience because obviously I went because I had followed and trusted this person for a while. Yeah, I think really doing your research when you're investing a lot of money in education, because I think like the good and the bad thing with like retreats and coaching and online courses and all that is like literally anyone who like knows how to use the internet can be an expert on anything they want. So I think like really, really doing your research, reading other reviews, talking to people, like even before I hired my current business coach, I not only attended her an in-person retreat and was obviously impressed, but then I reached out to I asked her who are her other like one-on-one coaching clients and then reached out to them on Instagram and was like, hey, like I'm thinking of hiring this person. These are my goals. Do you think she can help me get there? Not like, oh, is she good or bad? But it was just like, this is what I am looking for. Do you think she's the right person for me for these goals, you know?
Yeah, it's just kind of like securing your investment in a way, you know? Like it's just kind of making sure that your hard-earned money is going to somewhere that's going to be able to help you.
Exactly. So yeah, I would really, really do your research on that and big purchases. Other mistakes, not hiring or like outsourcing anything earlier. And I'm not saying like hire a full team. Like I have like a team of 10 now, but that obviously was not like a first step. Mm. But I think having the wisdom to know that like you are not actually the expert on all like 45 things that you do in your business, you know, other people can do some of those things better than you. So that could be like my first hire in my business was hiring someone 5 hours a week to do social media. That was at the beginning of the end of my marriage. And I was just like, I knew that I was at the bottom and was going to be there for a while and like couldn't handle social media at the time. I was just like, to be honest, I was like, I can't see anyone smiling. And that's completely opposite of who I am. So I was like, well, this isn't good. I gotta dive deep and focus on therapy and self-care and sort this out.
That's a tell. Also,
yeah. But I was also like, I also can't just like disappear necessarily because this is my work, you know? So I like called somebody that I knew. I just like called her crying and was like, please help me. Like, here's my password to Instagram. I have no plan or strategy. Can you just post some stuff? And so she did. And like, that is not how I would recommend making your first hire. But also it like really forced me. And she was like, to start, she was 5 hours a week. It was not a lot. Again, I gave her roughly zero direction. So not the way to do it. But you know, it was good for me because then when I was ready to resurface a few months later, and like, not only was I able to have the time and the space to focus on my own healing and rebuilding, which, side note, I will partially credit my past good financial habits for that, like, afforded me the opportunity to not have to stress about work for a couple months. Granted, it also did time very nicely that it was like during the winter, which is really slow for.
Was this around COVID as well? Like, did you get divorced right before COVID? You really went through it.
It was a rough time. So, you know, it's not like I was necessarily turning away projects because there was not a lot going on in the COVID winter, but I was just like so thankful that I had savings and I was able to like cut spending confidently and easily. So I could just like, you know, allocate my money towards therapy and food. That was about it. And then paying her 5 hours a week. But seriously, like that just kind of speaks to the opportunity that like having financial freedom, there's no way that I could have ever predicted that's why I would, you know, need the resources. But I'm so thankful that I had them at that time.
Yeah. You know? I think that's kind of the crux of it, right? Where it's like life is unpredictable. So just save up for the unpredictable. Like just have a little bank of cash that's like a bit of a buffer between you and like this very unpredictable world we live in.
Totally. And like, yeah, obviously people want to talk about the like, oh, the unpredictable bad things, but also like unpredictable positive opportunities. Even this Patagonia thing that I just went on, like that came up pretty last minute and like it was, you know, a decent investment and I wasn't planning on it. But again, because of my past saving, I was like, you know what? I can do this and I can just say yes. And I don't have to be like, oh, let me wait one more year, you know? So I think it's like for both the like hard and also the like exciting, unpredictable things that life throws your way.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So what's coming up for you in 2024?
Whew. I mean, I feel like this time away like kind of made me like rethink what are my priorities and what do I want to focus on? Because I love work. I love what I do. So I love that to be like, kind of like my big focus. And also I feel like being away, I was like, okay, I really want to make sure that I continue to intentionally schedule in like quality time with the people I love, traveling to new places and exploring the world. So I think that's going to be one of my high priorities. I also am going to like continue to focus on like the coaching side of my business. And then I'm continuing to like make pivots in my business where I'm focusing the majority of my time and energy on my brand photos and empowerment portraits for women. And then is taking on the majority of the weddings and the other portrait side of my business, which just feels like really exciting for both me and the photographers because, again, like we talked about earlier, you get into photography because you like taking the pictures. So I think the fact that I like really like the business and the financial side of things is a little less common in the creative world. And then it's also been amazing for my clients because then they're able to, we have more availability because it's more than just one person's schedule. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I have some other like exciting dreams kind of outside of my photo business, other business ventures. So TBD on that.
Can't tell us anything right now.
Well, it's going to be like real estate focused, like investment properties. So we'll see exactly what that looks like, but that's the direction I'm shifting.
Exciting.
In addition, like my photo business and coaching is still a top priority. But again, like this all kind of comes back to like planning for the future and being like financially minded and diversifying because, you know, I want to make sure I'm taking care of like my current self, but also like my future self.
When do you think you're going to retire?
Okay. That's something that I was literally just journaling about like on the flight home from Santiago this weekend. So I don't know. I wrote down 45, but I'm like, is that too old? Is that too young? I don't know. I just threw that number down.
And how far away is 45 from now?
Yeah, I'm 34 now. So I'm like, that's only 11 years away. That seems kind of close.
Yeah. But also like anything's possible. I feel like investment property route kind of makes sense in a way, or like if you have like a couple of rentals, that's sort of a regular income to sort of support you. But yeah.
So I think my next coach that I want to hire is someone who's a little bit more either like, this would be so weird and nerdy, but like almost like a tax coach or like a financial, like I want someone who's really like deep in the numbers and can help me figure out like if I am serious about that number 45 that I threw out there, like, okay, I have 11 years to get there. Like for real, what do I need to do? Because I have some rough ideas, but like, I don't know. I need other experts. You know what I mean?
And like, what's your take on being a photographer and being the person that's like hands-on on the tools? Like it's actually like someone that's selling their services and their time. How do you think that that sort of profession works in the scheme of like being able to like maybe scale and tap out and retire around 50? Do you think that that's possible, or does it need to be a diversification project? What's your take on that?
Wow, that is a really good question. I don't know if I've thought too much about it. Like I certainly see the trend where a lot of photographers tap out after 5 to 10 years max. Like I think the fact that I've been at this over a decade is kind of a relatively outlier, which I think is a bummer because that doesn't feel like a very long career. I honestly think a lot of it is because people they're not doing the money side of things, you know? So they're just working and then they're not making enough money. And all of a sudden they're like, well, I can't do this. And it's like, well, yeah. Probably not. Like if you're profiting like 10 grand a year, like, yeah, there's no way that's worth it. So, but yeah, that's a really good question because it does seem so common that people go photographers and then either build a team and or become a coach.
Yeah. Like they like have associate teams or they, become a coach or they like become an educator and make this kind of like online offering or like do, you know, but it's like in terms of like the longevity of a profession, like it's tricky because it is something that requires you to be on the tools unless you're kind of finding other ways to sort of do it, like tapping into like the luxury market or, you know, it's tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky. And I think, I mean, the other part of it is that it is a pretty physically and emotionally demanding job. Granted, like caveat, there are others that are clearly way more
Sure.
But it is. And I think like along with that, like people, I'll at least speak for myself. Like I think taking care of my mind and my mental health, like I've already mentioned like therapy and like, you know, support system, like being in touch with, you know, having like a spiritual connection is really important to me. So like taking care of that like mental, emotional, spiritual side, and then also physical side. There's a million people who can be your health coach or whatever, but the basic stuff like move your body, eat food that fuels your body, like sleep, drink water. Like it's so obvious, but if we're not doing that, like we probably can't last a long time in a physically demanding job. So I think prioritizing a lot of these things, I feel like are speaking to kind of being in tune with like long-term goals where it's like, yeah, you can go for a while on like 5 hours of sleep and coffee and like, yeah, you can pull that off for a while, but like not years, you know?
Yeah. Totally. So I guess like kind of making it sustainable financially and like physically and maybe you said kind of spiritually, but having a purpose or some driving sort of force that's bigger than like you.
Yeah, I think so. Because yeah, otherwise I don't know how people can do it for a long time. So if someone knows how, maybe you can.
Yeah, hit us up. Sure.
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I've been chasing my tail for such a long time. Has anyone ever caught their tail? Like, is it
literally?
Is it overrated? Like, what does it feel like to catch one's tail? Micah, it's been such a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for everything you brought to this conversation. It's been so nice.
Thank you. This was a delight. Thank you.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. I hope it was full of inspiration for you to go forth and build yourself that successful and financially secure photography business you've always dreamt of. My top three takeaways were, it's okay to bribe yourself. Saving up doesn't have to be all pain and sacrifice. If you hit your savings goals for the month, get yourself a little treat to say thank you to yourself. Celebrate milestones. Nobody is going to know what kind of successes you might be experiencing unless you invite them into your life. Creating some kinds of rites of passage around significant times of your business will help you stay focused and motivated for whatever the future brings. Have a really honest look at your finances and figure out where your business stands. Once you have a clear picture of where you are, figure out where you want to go. Are you on track to hit your goals? If not, what needs to change? Figuring out where you want to go will give you guidance on what you're meant to be doing now. No matter how hard it might seem, financial freedom is within your reach, and with the right strategies and dedication, you can turn your passion into a thriving career. If you're looking for more resources on building a sustainable photography business, don't forget to check out the Unscripted app for photographers. It offers the world's largest database of poses and prompts, an easy client management system, photo galleries, education, a photographer directory, and everything you need to feel confident as a professional photographer. If you're looking for extra resources that might help you budget, check out Micah Bain's website and socials. I'll pop all the links you need in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I'll see you next time.
This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.